Well, 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 how we doing? Everyone doing okay out there? Got the boys in the front row there keeping me honest. I like that. I like that. Woo! Don't want that microphone to roll off and have a moment, you know, in the middle of it all. Praise of God, turn to your neighbor, say you're smelling awesome. A beautiful aroma coming from your side of the seat. We like that. Okay, if they're not, maybe just remain silent. We don't want to lie in church. Fantastic. Well, last week, a bunch of you wouldn't have been here. We've usually got about 100 people away every week. Last week, we spent the entire morning honoring God, just thanking Him for the beautiful things that He's done over the last year. And there's a really cool little video that we ran. And we thought it was so cool, and we knew that Dana put heaps of time into it. And I've watched it about 10 times. It blesses me. It moves me, actually. Just trying to catch a few of the highlights during the last year of the priceless work that God has done in the hearts of people. I'm very, very grateful that God is with us. Can you say that? Amen? God is with us. I mean, I don't want to do church unless God is there. You can find another part. I'm not interested in doing great meetings and great events, impressing people, getting the wow factor up. If God's not there, if the Holy Spirit is not moving powerfully in the hearts of people, I want to go where He is. I love you, but I want to go where God is. And thank God He's here and He's moving amongst us in our lives, and it's beautiful. And so why don't we run that video and let's kill those lights.
With enthusiasm and faith, we will reflect on major events and results and anything else that has brought about spiritual and numeric growth. 2017 started with the Next Conference, first time for us to host a conference in New Zealand with the help of Every Nation Southside. All the Oceania churches came together to go to the next level. We launched our youth ministry called ENY and gathered together youth. It was exciting, and about 30 high schoolers came together on Friday nights to have fun and become more like Jesus. We launched three new powerful meetings, Unleash, Encounter, and Disciple Makers. Unleash, strengthening and refreshing our leaders. Encounter, the power of God is moving. Disciple Makers, training and equipping members to make disciples. Pastor Larry was here in Auckland, prophesying over our leaders as we move forward to advance His kingdom. Last October, we moved our offices and operations into our new church home at 9 Karaka Street, Inner Terrace, Auckland. All this and having our city covered with dynamic and growing connect groups that made last year another fruitful year. During this last year, we have seen God do amazing things in so many lives. Total Sunday attendance has grown by 18%, now an average of 273, almost doubled since Every Nation Auckland Central was birthed 4 years ago. Kids Church Sunday attendance has grown by 19%. Our Connect Group attendance is up by 30%. 53 people gave their lives for Jesus this year. 27 baptism, new beginning, new life, many cultures and ages. 51 new members added to our spiritual fold. Last year, Miracle Offering brought in nearly $240,000 for establishing our very first church home. We thank God for His blessing and for bringing the growth. We sow the seed, we water the seed, but it is God who causes the growth.
Come on, let's give God a round of applause and thank Him. Wow. Praise God, isn't that good? And we showed also a couple of infographics just to give us an idea of really some other things over the last 4 years. That video was the last year, but since we began, the new name, new leadership, new location, this slide here, this is a number of people that have been baptized. For all those people that are furiously trying to count, that's 86. Let's go to the next slide. That is the number of people who have joined our church over the last 4 years, not including children or youth. So some people have moved on for good reasons and not so good reasons, but that's what's happening. So our total church family now is pushing up towards 400 people. And we give God all the glory and the praise for that. That in itself is not particularly impressive. What really captures my heart is the fact that 25% of that growth was saved in this church. 25%. That's huge in the church world. Normally, I would guess around about 5% or less. Talking to a good friend of mine who has a church in the city, less than 5%. Usually transfer growth. Usually church hoppers. What we are after primarily are people far from God. Can someone give me an amen? Isn't that why church is actually here? Amen? To reach people far from God. So I'm super excited. Last week was all about saying, God, you're awesome. You really are unless you move, it won't happen. Today, I'm excited to give you part two and to look forward. I always love looking back. I think we're too quick and too eager to always be looking for the new thing in front of us rather than stopping and looking back and saying, man, let's just look at what God has done. And can I just add a little caveat to that and thank all our volunteers once again from all the way through the departments, because God, while God brings a growth, he uses man and woman to do it. So we create atmospheres, we create environments, we want to bring excellence to it, but unless the Spirit moves, nothing really happens. Isn't that true? So today, we are going to move forward. There's a couple of things I want to let you know before I open up the text. The leadership of the church, a little while ago now, felt that we needed to change the identity of the church. We wanted to come into alignment with the global recognition of the spiritual family. And so officially today, we were going, actually, for those that have been around for a while, we're going, it's new, but it's old. We're going back to the global logo, the global branding up here. And at the same time, we felt we wanted to change the word central to city because we don't draw people from actually the center of the city, but rather we get people from all four corners and beyond, from Pukekohe all the way up to Whangaparoa, right out to the end. And so at the same time, it's now becoming every nation Auckland city. We believe that reflects our reach and what's actually in our heart. And just for those that are wondering or thinking, Pastor Te'ula and Rowena, they just love it. And so we have people coming from south all the way through, as they have people coming from west or even north possibly all the way down. And so praise God, we're linking arms and taking Auckland and beyond for Jesus. Amen? Amen. So today, officially, you'll notice our social media has all changed. Our website has changed. So it's going to roll out. You'll see the rebranding coming through. We're going to go back to that. So I'm pretty excited. Actually, around the world, every nation, even churches without the word every nation, I think now of Eagle Point in Malaysia, they've completely converted to every nation. Many churches in South Africa, I think all but one actually, have converted to every nation. So it's going around the world. So we have this global brand that we can identify with. Doesn't that sound good? Okay, so that's what it is. You're going to see that rolling out. And of course, we've got every nation Tauranga. The branding may change, but who we are and what we do has not changed. It will not change. We honor God by making disciples and planting churches. That's who and what we are. Our dream is to plant 20 churches in New Zealand. That's the dream. You like that? We've got two churches. We want now to begin to prepare to plant in the city of Hamilton and in the city of Wellington. There should be a map up there right now. If you are interested in being involved in that in any way, shape, or form, I'd like to invite you to email me. I'm going to begin quarterly meetings to pray, to do due diligence, to learn about the demographics, and develop strategy to move into those cities. So real estate's very expensive in Auckland. So if you're thinking about relocating to a region, actually Tauranga may assist us with Hamilton as well. I can just see my heart is 20 healthy, growing, disciple-making, God-honoring, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled churches across this great land, across these two great islands, and be linked in together. Men and women that are not insecure with leadership, but all about Jesus, functioning and collaborating together to create a movement to join other movements in our land to redeem this great nation. It is a great nation. It's just being like a rebellious teenager at the moment. But if Christians rise up and say, no, the foundations of this nation is Jesus, we're going back to where we came from, I tell you what, we can change this little village called New Zealand. So, Hamilton, Wellington. Now, we were heading to Hamilton and God moved us to Tauranga. So I just want to give a little caveat. Maybe we're going to go to Rotorua. I don't know. But as far as we can see, strategically, the Waikato area and its proximity to Auckland and Tauranga, Wellington being the capital. I can see prayer meetings in the beehive, can't you? Pulling down fire from heaven. Not to burn up the politicians, but the power of God, I mean. If you feel either of those cities are in the mix, I know we ages ago had a meeting and it never really went too far. Well, actually it did. It led to a plant in Tauranga. But we want to actually intentionally develop leaders and gather teams and look at how we're going to do that. So please, if you're interested, email me. That's my email address and I'll respond. And about every 3 months we're going to have a prayer meeting and begin to talk as we actually want to move on. Not just a dream, I actually want to do it. None of us are getting any younger. Cool, sound good? Anybody excited about that? Yeah. Now, I want to give you a little update. Second thing, that's number one. Everyone say one. Now say two. To do that dream of 20 churches, we want to do it from a strong, solid financial base. Over the recent years, when we began, when actually Every Nation Auckland Central began, we had seed money of $55,000. Praise God, through your generosity, through a bit of interest and some radical giving by some people, that has grown now to $300,000. That is set aside for the purchase of property. This is not karaka. This is not doing up the building up the road. This is to purchase. You see, unless you own, you're always sort of serving the lender. And because we're not going to go away, because we've got a great dream, we need to be able to develop real money, which is called capital growth and equity in property or other investments, so then we can buy buildings and do buildings up and down this nation and be far more smart economically about how to plant these 20 churches. How does that sound? So just want to give you a quick little update. You may be wondering, a couple of people have asked, what happened to that? That $300,000 is sitting soundly in the bank. Led by Dan Oliver, the investment team looked and surveyed the different options, and the eldership and the financial board came down to one option that we felt was the preferred investment, which actually was a build and lease option down in Wiri, commercial property. We identified the property, we did all the due diligence, we were ready to rock and roll, and then the general election was on our table. Remember that back in October? And just to let you know, the majority of the board, ultimately the board decided, because we vote together, that we would actually hold on that investment if there was a change of government. And there was a change of government, and there was a loss of confidence in the financial markets. And so, but now time has passed. I think we're now 6 months down the track, and we are now re-looking at that investment. It's in term deposits at the moment, but the intention is to use that to buy land or buy property, and have someone else pay the mortgage for us, and in the meantime, see great capital growth. How does that sound? We're not a property development, we're a church, but we've got to be smart with our money to grow it to then ultimately buy property. Karaka is leased, and we'll talk more about that, and that's great, it's the right thing to do, but we also want to own property. Sound good? Two little updates there, so we're all spick and span, and everybody knows what's happening in the family. Congratulations to Brad and Charlotte, by the way. Yeah. Engaged. Yeah. Just kind of throwing that in the middle there, Brad. Yeah, sounds like Brad did us proud, didn't you, mate? Down on one knee, tears in the eyes, beautiful. All over Facebook, the ultimate source of authority, Facebook. Great. Who would like to hear a great story? Who wants to hear a story of unbelievable bravery? Do we like stories? Okay, here we go. So Old Testament, 1 Samuel, chapter 13, 14. If you can imagine two big hills and a valley. Two big hills and a valley. They can see each other across the valley. On one side, you've got the Philistines. On the other side, you've got the Israelites. The Philistines, they're aggressive. They want to fight. They're snorting. There is just breath coming out of their nostrils. There's 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and it says in the Bible that there are more people than the sand on the seashore. You get the idea. You can barely see a blade of grass for human bodies and weaponry. On the other side of the valley, on the hill, is the Israelites. Comparatively, very small, only a few thousand. To make matters worse, the Israelites had no weapons. You see, the Philistines used to sharpen the axes, the swords, and the spears, but because of King Saul's ridiculously stupid leadership, he cut that off. And so they're stuck over here with the blunt tools. All they can do is throw bricks and grab a stick, but there's nothing with an edge. And so they're without effective weapons. They're looking across the valley, and there are these Philistines who want to fight. King Saul is afraid. King Saul has called everybody to retreat, and they're actually hiding in caves and holes. It says in my Bible, thickets, which is, I guess, another word for bushes. They're hiding behind the bushes, worried that they're going to be annihilated. The land that the Philistines is in, by the way, was owned by the Israelites. Saul, the children of Israel, owned the whole area, but because of stupidity, ungodly leadership, and ignoring godly counsel, they found themselves retreating, only a few thousand hiding from the Philistines. Amongst that crowd was Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul and his armor bearer. Now, he's called the armor bearer because he bears his arms. You've got to go to theological college to find that information out, I'm telling you. An armor bearer was someone like a servant who would carry the sword, carry the shield. You see, I mentioned there's no weapons. Saul and Jonathan still had their sword, but no other weapons were found. The armor bearer was with Jonathan, and they're hiding under the bushes. They're hiding away from all the action, but Jonathan was troubled in his spirit. His father offered no leadership. He should have been the better king, by the way, but he didn't want to usurp authority. His father offered no leadership. The father, King Saul, offered no courage whatsoever in the circumstances. But Jonathan knew that if God is for us, who can be against us? He knew something was not right. He knew in his heart that the church was called to advance. The church is called to take ground, not retreat. And he knew that God could do great and mighty things. So he says to his armor bearer, let's slip away secretly and get closer. Let's scramble through the thickets, hide between the rocks, wait for them while they're not looking, get a little closer to the Philistines and just see what God might do. So they carefully scrambled their way between two large rocks in the valley. They're hiding. They could almost hear the voices. There's an outpost, a garrison of 20 soldiers. I've just already described the hill and the mass, but some of the garrisons were sent into the outpost to protect and do surveillance and reconnaissance missions, if you will. But getting up close, hiding secretly behind all this was Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan's heart is stirred. They're locked in. They're hemmed in. There's no way out. And look what Jonathan says in verse 14, verse 6 to 7. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Right now, all the men are feeling a bit squishy. Uncircumcised is an Old Testament sign of unbeliever. That's giving us a clue. The Israelites were circumcised to cut away the flesh to show their allegiance to Jesus or to Yahweh, the God. So mentioning that means they're pagans, they're unbelievers. So you can see he's thinking spiritually. How dare they take this ground off the church? It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or few. In other words, nothing is impossible for my God. So guess what his armor bearer said? He said to him, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here am I, according to your heart, Jonathan. Where you go, I go. Incredible bravery. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, people to cover more than the sands of the seashore, and two men want to take it on. Jonathan is thinking, we should advance. Jonathan is thinking, we need to step forward. We need to take new ground. Even if we fail, at least we don't just retreat like pathetic sort of whimpering idiots in the corner, but we actually step up and move forward and believe God to do something great amongst us. We need to take new territory, was what Jonathan was saying. We in every nation, Auckland City, we too want to step forward. We've got 9 specific faith goals for the next 12 months, and we want to share them with you today and let you know what direction we're going. And I've already talked about church planting. I've already talked about Hamilton and Wellington. Already talked about our identity. But I want you to be aware specifically over the next 12 months, we operate, you see, according to the financial year, 1st of April to the end of March, right through to the end of March 2019. What are the key goals? Now, some of our goals and things that are operating, they're not very flash. They're very functional. They need to happen. They're organizational. They're IT. We're not going to talk about those today because you begin to yawn. So we've tried to pull out the 9 that'll just get you sitting on the edge of your seat. Like, ooh, yeah. Wow. Are you ready? Okay, number 9. Here we go. Commitments. Let's do it. Let's do public. Let's go. We are going to reboot a leadership equipping school. Absolutely. We need to train our people. I'm carrying this great burden. We've had a holiday for a few years. We need to train our people to effectively engage this postmodern secular culture. It's not okay for us to remain in our ivory towers and navel-gazing church. We need to actually know how to build relationships and debunk worldviews that are contrary to Jesus Christ, to love people but speak the truth. And so some of you might have remembered ENLI. Some refer to it as Leadership 412. Others have called it Equip. Whatever the name you call it, we're actually going to start it early next year. It's too late. The wheels have already begun to turn. So it's coming back. It's a very important part of our equipping of our church members to become disciple-making disciples, making disciples, making disciples. Number 8, we are launching Lifebox. In fact, we've already launched Lifebox, a community outreach. This is our primary social responsibility arm of the church. It's very, very exciting. We've already established the trust. Things are already underway. Infe, why don't you come up here, bro, and just share for 30 seconds about that. Also, Pastor Wee Yong, where are you? Come on up here as well, man. So let's give Infe a round of applause. Here we go. Oh, sorry, bro.
Hello, hello. Okay, Lifebox. It's preparing students for life. And so there's a curriculum called Life, L-I-F-E. L is for leadership. I is for integrity. F is for faith. Yes, I know that. And E is for excellence. And so what we did is that I know the campus is doing that curriculum, so we're going to do that in high school. And so we're heading into Albany Senior High. Thankful for Aaron and Aika for bringing their friends into Every Nation Youth. So what we want to do is that we want to tap of those who are part of ENY and go into their school, bring their friends, and bring them back into to be discipled. So that's what we're doing. And also we're working, networking with Auckland City Mission. and all the other different ministry and social responsibility ministry. So that's us.
Cool, fantastic, very good. And I just want to honour Infei. He's actually changed his employment, gone part-time to donate one day a week to get this off the ground. So we as a church are paying the legal fees and accountancy. We're partnering financially in prayer. I'm on the board. And so watch this space. Very, very exciting. Next, move on to the seventh faith goal. We are going to conduct, in February 2019, another missions trip to Fiji. Yeah. So actually, we fly out 15th, 16th of February. I think it's 24th and 25th, 10-day missions trip. So you're going to, you know, I'm giving you dates now so you can put that in your calendar. It's just between our prayer and fasting and campus beginning. So we've timed it. Pastor Jarrett's approved all the dates. In Fiji, we can really reach poor, the really real poverty. Not like we see here, but people really living in incredible difficult situations and medical situations, but also campus. So that's happening in February 2019. The dates are already set. We're just about going to book our flights. No, just joking. So if you're keen on that, let us know. Get back to the office. Number six, we're going to be hosting the Oceania Every Nation Campus Summit. Yeah. We believe here to change the world, you've got to change the campus. And so actually, Roisin's been the regional campus director from Fiji, Australia, PNG? Yeah, PNG, New Zealand. We want to go to all the other islands eventually. And so they're coming together here in June at Karaka Street for equipping and training relationships, but creating a moment, a movement, should I say, or regional momentum. And so very, very exciting there. Number five, a brand new role that we've established called a Next Gen Pastor. Do you like that title? So we're pointing, and that next-gen pastor is this good man on my right. So he's going through a shift, a change of responsibilities. What we want to make sure we do is that from kids to youth to campus, working young adults, all of that is overseen with other leaders, but we've got a continual philosophical, strategic alignment that nobody falls between the cracks. And so this is our future. This is very exciting. Take it away, Pastor Weong.
Yeah, what he said. So it's taken about 2 years to discover that. And what we've seen over history is that whilst we've had great leaders leading every single one of those ministries he's spoken about, because they're slightly different people, slightly different visions, the continuity is not there. So we are very excited to be able to bring some consistency, to bring the same heart, to bring sort of a real heart of outreach to teach our youngest kids to reach their fellow classmates, to our youth, and partnering with Lifebox to really reach high schools. And ultimately, you know, when kids get to university, they're ready and rearing to go to make disciples. Amen. So that's the next gen pastor role. And also one more thing, thank God for Pastor Alfred, because we've been able to do some transitions and he's taken on a whole bunch of the roles that I've been responsible for the last 4 years. So let's give Pastor Alfred a big hand.
Yeah.
We're a team.
The Malaysian Mafia, man, I tell you what. It's all happening at church, yeah. But that's actually already started. So he's already functioning in that role. And we're already seeing benefits of that with campus students mentoring youth or being involved with youth. And so it's just going from strength to strength. We want to absolutely secure our future as a church, but the future of the nation. Because the leaders that are going to run this country in 20 years, they're actually at university right now. So we've got to stop playing games and just sort of, you know, trying to keep them all, sort of spin the plates, but have a proper cohesive strategy to make sure that's growing and all of our kids are totally equipped. Sound good? Now, the fourth one, this is pretty cool, man. The fourth goal that follows along with that is we are actually going to start a second service later in the year. Isn't that good? So we want to provide a second option for people because we want to make more disciples. And so Pastor Weong's going to talk a bit about that, but we're looking to that start in September once we're settled in Karaka Street, September, October. But things have already started. The early preparation of that has already begun to develop a team of people to run that. So why don't you talk further about that?
Thank you, Pastor Richard. So this second service is, I think it's important to talk about what it isn't, rather, and then you can know what it is. It is a, it's not a youth service. It's not just a service for young people. It's not a service for tired people that serve in many other churches to come for a rest in the evening to receive, although we welcome everyone. But this is a church service in and of itself. We want to grow. We're not looking just to transfer a whole bunch of people from this service, but you're welcome to come. But we are really going to approach it like planting a new church within this church. We're going to be the second service of every nation, Auckland City. We're really looking to reach out to our community. We're looking for lives to be transformed, lives to be changed, people, disciples to be made. So what I've had the privilege of is that the leadership team has sent my way a few very, very strong connect group leaders in this church to partner with me, to pray together, to get prepared to launch the second service. So watch this space. We're really excited. There's got to be a lot of work to do, but we're excited to really be able to see the next generation come through, to see people that work shift work, immigrants, all kinds of people to come to be part of this mighty church that God has blessed us with. Amen?
Man, can I go?
Yeah.
take
everyone's
that
welcome. Okay.
Take that with you, buddy. Fantastic. Take a breath. Everyone take a big breath. There we go. So that's all happening and it's too late. The train's already left. And watch this space. And Pastor Weong will be the lead pastor of that. So he'll be running with that and running with fire. All right. The third faith goal. Connect groups. We want to empower 58 connect group leaders. We used to measure connect groups by number of groups, but then we found out there were naughty leaders who were doing more than one group. And because we don't want to kill people in the process, we're now measuring number of leaders, not number of groups. It's okay to do maybe a second group, but if the circumstances allow that, so we're not killing our families or our own jobs or suffering or anything like that. So we're doing that. And why are we doing that? Because we believe in authentic relationships. We don't want to be just a crowd of people. We want to preserve family, preserve discipleship. And so Sunday morning essentially is a gathering of connect groups. That's how we want to build. And so the lifeblood of the church are in those groups. If you're not in a connect group, there's a very good chance you won't feel connected. And there's heaps of them across the city, all four corners, most days of the week. It's exciting. We've got campus connect groups, youth connect groups. On a Friday night, we've got community connect. We've got all kinds of groups going on. And so we want to be a church of small groups. And that's where that is going. Just the other night, Thursday night, right? Disciple makers. 35 people paid money to go to disciple makers to learn how to make disciples, which we do through connect groups. And so we're just going to continue to grow and to grow. Our second faith goal, of course, we always measure this, is a number of new disciples. We actually have to stop at the end of the year and go, did we actually make disciples? We talk the language all the time, but did we actually do that? Was that a good question to ask? Is it kind of dangerous to ask those kinds of questions? Like, we're doing good church meetings, but are we actually seeing that we're seeing decisions made for Jesus, but does that progress onto baptism? Does that progress onto being added to a church? Hopefully our church, but we're not the only church. Another church is cool, but we want to make disciples. And so we have a faith goal this year of 45 new disciples. Despite the video said we had like 51 added to the church, we had lots of baptisms and things, but actually last 12 months we had only 28 get saved, baptized and added to the church. Now that journey can take years actually. You see in the Bible, get saved, baptized that moment, and then boom, we're part of the New Testament church. Sometimes it can take a lot longer than that. And we're learning about how people and folks and cultures operate. That journey can take years. So we had 28. So our goal this year is big and hairy and brave, and it's 45 new disciples. I want you to imagine our city covered in healthy, growing, effective small groups. I want you to imagine our campus ministry, thriving, our next generation leader, really seeing continuity beginning to flow, where kids leaving high school know exactly what's happening at uni, or if they're going to the workforce, there's a place for them there as well. We've kind of not done the young adults thing very well, so Pastor Weong's going to address it. Can you imagine all that in place? Our life box happening, praise the Lord, missions trips to Fiji. Can you see all that happening? Come on, second service in Karaka, all of that put together, and God's blessing and God's power will just see this thing explode, man. Our days have just begun. The adventure has really just begun. We're only 4 years old, building on top of what Pastor Ken and others built in years preceding. But it's a new day, a new season, new leadership, same core values. But we've got to wrestle with how we contextualize in Auckland, New Zealand, and Tauranga, New Zealand, and Wellington, New Zealand, and Hamilton, New Zealand, and New Plymouth, New Zealand, and Rotorua, New Zealand, praise God, all the way through. Who wants to go to Queenstown? Anybody? Oh, okay, we've got a plant going on right now. Yeah, right. Lattes down there on the shores of Lake, okay, all right. Praise God. I want you to imagine with me, this sort of stuff just wakes me up. It's what we can be. I guess leaders have to live years in advance. But with all that happens, with God's anointing and supernatural power, seeing new nations come into this place, praise God, it'll be super, super exciting. It's bold. Many of those things have already begun. Finances reserved, organizational structures changed, focus changed. So we're already, it's not wishful thinking, it's going to happen. Most of that's already expected to happen, but some of these are really stretches, real stretches. But if we all get on board and own it, say, God, this is where I'm established, let me get involved. You see, I want to challenge you today. If you're not involved, I want to ask you, would you please consider getting involved? If you're not tithing, would you please consider tithing to this local church? For some of us today, we need to decide, is this our local church or is it not? And actually invest, because this is bigger than us, ladies and gentlemen. It's bigger than our lives. It's lost people. This place is really going to hell in a handbasket. And the church, the glorious, radiant, beautiful church, needs to rise up with bold faith like Jonathan and his armor bearer. Not be retreating like King Saul and all the other Christians over here, retreating, just hanging on till Jesus comes back. Or that no one knows how to share their faith. And the church is silent or it's ridiculed because it's considered irrelevant. Just over the last week on social media, I've seen all kinds of things. You wonder where the church is really at. Well, praise God, we have a vision to be a strong, glowing, shining church that will make a few mistakes along the way. Heaven knows every family does. But we can walk with integrity, with clear goals, with commitment and passion, and see God do something great and mighty and bold. Let's go back to Jonathan. So there's Jonathan. He's stuck down here between a big rock. It actually says there's a rock on this side facing Gilead and a rock on this side facing Mishmash. Would you imagine living in a place called Mishmash? GPS Mishmash. Okay, so you've got the Philistines. You've got the Israelites, and they're taunting and shouting abuse. And they could hear the thumping and the rumble of weaponry and horses and chariots. And they're hiding in the rocks. Now, you've got to remember, these two men, they are heavily outnumbered. Two men at a strategic disadvantage. Jonathan comes up with something either crazy or incredibly good. Don't you like being around crazy people? That's why I love InFay so much. He's a crazy guy. He does radical things. I love being around Pastor Weong and Alfred. They do crazy things. I mean, who else would say no to six-figure salaries and go and be a missionary in Auckland? You've got to be nuts. Because surely money, doesn't that bring all the joy and happiness? Actually, I think all Christians should have a bit of craziness in them. Don't you? Dare to believe that God could use you to share the beautiful gospel with someone from a different nation, a different culture, a different socioeconomic group. It's beautiful. But anyway, Jonathan, he's kind of crazy, or he's really, really brave, and he comes up with his plan. He says, okay, armor bearer. I wish they gave the guy a name. He says, okay, armor bearer, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stand up Because I'm tired of crouching and hiding. I'm tired of being unfruitful in my Christian life. I'm tired of going through the motions. Why don't we stand up for something? Why don't we stand up for Jesus? So he says to the armor bearer, he says, we're going to stand up. And if the Philistines look down and say, we'll come down to you, we'll know that it's all over, Rover. We're gone. Lights out, baby. We're going to heaven. But if they say, come on up, you Hebrews. In fact, it was a derogatory term. Come on, you little Hebrews, you grasshoppers. Come up to us. And Jonathan said to the armor bearer, if they say that, that's a sign that God is with us. And God will bring a great victory. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, a little outpost of 20 men right there. Garrison, outpost, Philistines, mighty warriors. And we've got two men hiding. And so they stand. Guess what happens? Read in verse 12 of chapter 14. And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us. Jonathan looks at the armor bearer. God's with us. And we will show you something. We're going to teach you boys a lesson. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees, and the armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. That's the Philistines. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed all 20. And then look what happened. Then first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, were about 20 men and within about half an acre of land. And there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among all the people of the Philistines, a great trembling. And the garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was very great trembling. God brought an earthquake. In the natural, you think two against thousands of warriors with weaponry. They had nothing. I mean, one sword. Jonathan had a sword, actually, and maybe a shield. But they said, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let's take a risk. Let's look for a sign. Oh, God, will you come through for us? And they invite. So they went up there and they defeated. And God came through with a mighty earthquake. And I haven't got time to go on the text, but the watchers over in the Israelites are looking over their glasses, or maybe I'm not exactly sure of the distance, but they could see what was happening. And it says in the text that they were melting like wax. The Philistines were so confused, they were cutting each other up and slicing and going and fighting each other. And there was a complete and total victory, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord brought a great victory. Hallelujah. God loves it when people are bold. Have you figured that out yet? God just loves bold kids, bold sons and daughters who dare to believe, not reckless, not stupid, but realize we go back, we're doomed. Let's stand up and do something decent. Let's trust God. Let's stand in mighty and see if God will come through. And he did. And two men dared to believe God. Two men took a risk. Two men trusted God. Two men laid it all on the line to take new ground. Two men stepped out and two men changed history. It's time for us to make history. It is time for us, I could even prophesy this over the church, to show herself for who she really is. It is certainly time for every nation, Auckland City, to stand up and be counted and to show herself. It's time for every nation, Auckland City, to take new territory. Our final faith goal is to create a church home at Karaka Street. Time of renting halls is over. Where God has given us a building right by the Spaghetti Junction with a big old wall right there to make our name known, or at least make his name known. We're to be established there, but it's going to take bold vision, bold giving, bold adventurous believing and trusting in him. Never in the history of every nation, Auckland, in the last 18 years have we owned or have we had a 24/7 lease. It's always been school halls or hotels down in South Auckland or rugby clubs up on the shore, Westlake Boys. It's been everything, but we've never had a building. That we can have 24/7, day and night, used for God and used for the community and used for the needs of the church. But we now are on the brink of having such a building. It's our time to actually secure it. It is our time to create a home for outreach. We can have a cafe. We've already got plans. I don't know if it's up. There we go. There's a right there. Let's move to the next slide if we could. There we go. So the red dot, that whole area there is a cafe, hangout area, people just fellowshipping, having a good time, catching up. We're not being chased out of the building by security. We can hang there, have a good time, and talk about God and how the week's been going and just pray and minister. We've got a 400-seater auditorium there. Praise God. We can get our technical lockdown, our acoustics right. We want rooms there for kids' church. There's four of them that are multi-purpose during the week that we can rent out and get an income from. We've got plans to be quite diverse. I think it's criminal to use this only on a Sunday. It needs to be used for the kingdom, used for the community. I love the next general election to host a political meeting there. We can honor and respect our MPs and have a divergence of opinion. I mean, why can't we do these kinds of things? We can do it, ladies and gentlemen. We've already relocated to the top floor. Who's been to the top floor at Karaka Street? It's phenomenal. It's very functional, very basic, very careful what we put in there. We've already got phase one done. Just this last week, we had a meeting, MPD thing yesterday for Roisin. We had Friday night youth, Thursday night disciple makers, Wednesday night worship. What was on Tuesday night? We had the financial board meeting on the ground floor. There's something else happening up on the top floor. Even the one top floor we have in the ground floor, we're utilizing right now. That first phase has been done. Now it is time for the second phase. Now it is time to take occupancy of the ground floor. Now it is time to relocate. The office has made it. We're doing as much as we can. But I want to take you all and take our Sunday services and be relocated there at 9 Karaka Street. When we get there and get it set up, we'll start our second service, praise God, because growth is just still coming. Youth can have a better place to operate. We can hang out. We can talk with people. It's going to be glorious. But I guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We don't have all the money that we need. We need $200,000 more to establish a basic functional setup enough to transfer our Sunday services. Today, I'm asking you if we collectively can come up with $200,000. Is that a Philistine kind of goal? Is that a big, hairy goal? It's a big one. $200,000 is our 2018 miracle offering update. Last year, as you saw in the video, we didn't quite get the 240,000. We got 236,000 was given for Karaka, not that investment property, for us to set up, to fit out, to get Karaka Street operating really, really well. We've spent $56,000 already for cleaning, and thank you for those who came to the Working Bees. We spent $56,000 on cleaning, setting up the office, prepping. The consultancy fees has been out of this world. You've got 8 or 9 different consultancy fees. We're dealing with Auckland Council. Please pray for us. One needs wisdom. You just want to go down there and uppercut someone, but you can't get in the flesh. You just want to do due process. You know, I want to be like, you know, Jonathan said, God said, move over, you little administration person. But we're playing the long game here. 56K has already been invested. So we've got a clean $180,000 in the bank. We need another $200,000, like I say, to get a basic functional setup. It won't have art on the walls. It may not even be painted, but it will be functional. And it means we could relocate. I feel like that young couple who's buying their first house. You're kind of having dinner on a beer crate, you know what I mean? That kind of mode. We need another $200,000. I want to ask you, would you please pray? Would you please consider to give generously over and above your tithe? Would you consider seizing this fantastic opportunity? First time in 18 years, we can actually have a facility 24/7. To serve the needs of the church and the community. I believe we can do it. The reason I believe we can do it is because each year we've done a miracle offering, it's been growing as the church has grown. In 2016, we pulled in $86,000 from you. Thank you. Combination of your gifts and interest, and $86,000. Last year, we said nearly $240,000. It was actually $150,000, but we had one other person bring a one-off, not repeatable $90,000 gift, unlikely to be repeated. So the giving from amongst the congregation was really 150. 86, 150. We've grown 18% over the last year. We're on the brink, my friend. We're hiding between the rocks. We're about to show ourselves. Now it's time. We're actually already committed. We're already committed to going. The eldership, we've been praying about it. We said, this is God. We've got to move. It's a great location. It'll meet our needs and beyond. It's strategically the next step to ramp us up to a whole new level of ministry. We're expecting hundreds more to come for our evening service and do other things. We really want to get to that situation. We can really influence the city with numbers does bring influence. And so that's where we are at. Would you pray? Would you consider? I can tell you this, that seven of us have already given. And $43,000 has come in. So we're already on our way. Seven giving units have come in amongst the staff and the leadership. And collectively, it's $43,401, either given or pledged. So when I say gift, it means I can do it now. I'm going to just pay it right now. I'm going to set up an AP or a one-off. Other people are expecting money down the line, and they make a pledge. I will give you $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, but I can't pay right now. It might be a little bit somewhere in the next 12 months. It's actually really important because we don't want to overextend. We need to know what kind of money we've got to play with. Does that make sense? We have to count the cost. What are we? And for some people, there's a big faith element in that. But I want to ask you as a church family, if you're visiting today, you're excluded, you're welcome to give. You've actually picked a great day to come because you kind of get in the heart of our church. Now, many of you tithe, many of you give. And so out in the foyer here, we've got your donation tax receipts. What we've found very successful over the last few years is that many people give all or some of their receipt. Now, if you're an immigrant here, you may not know this. This does not happen in all countries around the world. But our government, thankfully, acknowledges the good that church does in society. And so it says, if you give to a charitable donation, and you produce a receipt, an evidence of that giving, the government will give you 1/3 back. So if you've tithed over the last few years $1,000, over the last year $1,000, they will give you $333 back. Now, if you're like me, you just give to the Lord. You're not expecting it back. What we're asking is, would you consider giving that to this cause? We can do it. We're going to do it. We've already committed. Some of us may have to sell a house, I don't know. But I tell you what, and some of us are not really going to see the benefits of it. Some of us are doing it for your kids and for those that are not yet born and lost people out that have yet to come in. You see, there's a kingdom. There's so much more than just paying the bills next week and getting another lazy boy chair. Investing in people, man, it's the best investment you could ever make. There are people in this place that hearts, lives have been changed by God because God used every nation to reach them. So if you're expecting a tax receipt, please get your envelope and you'll find a nice little sweet note from me and a giving envelope to the Miracle Offering campaign. If you're not expecting a receipt, in other words, you've not given over the last 12 months, you can get a blank Miracle Offering envelope. It's all there. Pastor Alfred will be there. Raymond will be there to help you and assist you. A simple filling in of a form and sending it through. All of that money can go straight into the building account. Any gifts, please reference the Miracle Offering campaign. I'm praying and believing for $200,000 to come in. My faith is being stretched. I feel a bit shaky. but I know we've done 150. I know we've done 86. God, you know, every year we put a budget line on our, a line in our income budget called faith. Don't know where it's going to come from, just faith. Over and above our growth, we project our growth, current trends, but we always put a line on there called faith. Don't we, Pastor Alfred? Every year I've been the senior pastor, we have a thing called faith because we've got to have faith. We've got to have something that we can't quite understand. Can I tell you, every year God has come through. We've had people overseas, so I want to give you $10,000. I sold a house in Auckland, 10K. They no longer here, haven't been here for years. Haven't been in this church for years. God responds to our faith. Matthew says it. God will respond to our faith. As your faith is, so God will come through. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Would you pray? Would you consider giving? Honestly, if we all are generous, we can nail this bill. It would be great to have more than 200,000, but I don't. I want it to be reachable and achievable, but scary. With a stretch, we can do it. But I'm not going to stand here and say $500,000. I think that's presumptuous of God. But the 200's in my heart, in my spirit. I believe we can do it. Who here can say amen? Amen. We've already got 43K. Seven giving units have brought in 43K. If we all chip in, we'll nail it and we'll be in there. We're hoping to construction start in late May. The fit out, we're already working on our builders right now. And then we hope to be having our first service in September. If we're fortunate, if things go our way, we might even have Daddy's Day service on the 2nd of September, but it may be a little bit later. We'll wait and see. Praise God. But I'm telling you now, our Christmas service will be at Karaka Street. And it'll be our place, our home, for our use, for the kingdom, for Jesus. Doesn't that sound great? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a great round of applause. Praise the Lord. Let's move ushers. We want to give you all one of these booklets. It simply has our nine faith goals right there. Nine faith goals. And on the back end, it's got the date of collection on the 27th of May. It's 1 week away. So please pray. Please think about that. Please ask God, God, what do you want me to give? I ask that and God makes it scary. God puts another zero on the end. So, whoa, says God, is that you? Please confirm it with my wife. Please confirm it. And it was God. And the Lord has blessed us accordingly. Praise the Lord. Who's excited? Who wants to make history? Who actually wants to have a building there with every nation, Auckland City? We train leaders. We make disciples. We worship Jesus. We have community events there. Lifebox coming through, youth, campus. Who wants to do that? You want to join me in doing that? You want to live the dream? Come on, we can do this together, amen?